This is a CBC podcast. If you like Q, the podcast with Gian Gomeshi, you'll love QTV, featuring full-length interviews with personalities from the world of arts and culture. Subscribe to Q's video podcast at cbc.ca/podcasting.
I want to say a word or two about newspapers now. Newspapers have always been a big part of my life. When I was a boy, we subscribed to two. This is how it went. We would bury ourselves in the morning paper at the breakfast table. My dad got the front section. My brother and I fought over sports and comics. If there was time, we traded. Our second paper came in the afternoon. This was in the 1950s when there were still afternoon papers. It seems quaint now, like a second mail delivery. Well, we had those, too. Mail, twice a day, a hangover from the days when writing a letter was the most efficient way to get a message across town. Catch the morning post for the afternoon delivery. Please come to supper. Anyway, the second paper arrived, like a supper guest, around 4:30 or 5, and we would read it before dinner. The whole family in the living room, kids on the floor, my father in his chair, whiskey in hand, offering a mumbled commentary on what he was reading. There were a lot of crooks in my father's papers. He always found plenty of stories to confirm the opinion which he only expressed at night with a paper in hand, and never lived by day, as far as I ever saw, that the world was full of liars and crooks. My paper was different. My paper was filled with enticing ads for films I was too young to see, stories about heroic hockey players, and want ads with an endless list of things for sale that I hoovered up. Pets for sale being my favorite category. I followed pets for sale with the intensity with which I follow political affairs today. And, of course, the advice columns. Anne Landers in the morning, and her more restrained sister, Abby, at night. At the end of the day, after supper, we would wrap the day up the way it began, with the newspaper. Not reading it now, but using it to wrap the garbage into newspaper-shaped logs. Plastic garbage bags didn't exist in those days. You wrapped your garbage in newspaper and dropped it in your steel garbage can. The point, however, is that our days were bracketed in newsprint. It came in the front door by morning and went out the back by night. Even when I crawled into bed, I took the newspaper with me. Instead of reading the adventures of the Hardy Boys, like everyone else I knew, I had discovered the world of Ken Holt, the son of a globe-trotting foreign correspondent and a newspaper boy himself. Ken and his buddy Sandy Allen, himself of the newspaper-owning Allen family, were my heroes. And now, some 50 years later, I find little has changed. I have managed to find my way into one of the only cities on the continent with 1, 2, 3, 4 daily newspapers. I subscribe to one, buy the others from time to time, and have a fifth, The Guardian, a summary of Le Monde, The Washington Post, The Observer, and, of course, The Guardian, mailed to me once a week. I have lived my life with newsprint. Now, I love my job here on the radio, but it could have been otherwise. Just out of college, I was offered a job by the feisty and crusading newspaper woman, Margaret Mom Murray. I'd seen her interviewed on television, and I was smitten. So when I graduated, I hitchhiked across the country from my home in Montreal to the interior of British Columbia, to the town of Lillooet in the Fraser River Canyon, where Ma Murray ran the Bridge River Lillooet News. She was in her 80s at the time and had announced her imminent retirement. I went to offer her my services. "You don't want to retire," I told her. "You want to slow down. If you hire me, we can make it work. Together." Honest to God, I said that. She took me home and fed me lunch, and then, wonder of wonders, she offered me a job. Minimum wage, no overtime. I was inexperienced, wet behind the ears, and stunned. "I have to go home and think about this," I said. She said, "You'll need some sustenance for the road. I'll make you a sandwich." She picked up a chicken breast, bone and all, from the bowl on the table and slammed it between two pieces of bread. "Here," she said, holding it out. That was the last time I saw her. I started hitchhiking home, and a few days later, frozen and ignored on the edge of the highway in the middle of a miserable November rainstorm, I gave up the ghost and climbed onto the train. There was a girl at home, and I missed her. And when I got home, I was offered another job, and I chickened out on Lillooet. Newspapers got me going. And I've made my way, or most of it anyway, as a journalist. But I've never been a newspaper man. I could have been, but it never happened. I don't think I've even had anything published in a newspaper, even a letter to the editor. Nevertheless, newspapers have been a constant in my life. And if I hadn't stumbled into CBC Radio, they might well have been my life. I love newspapers. There is much to recommend them, and others have written about these things better than I, so I'll not repeat them. But I would like to say two things. And the first of those is that I like newspapers because they exist in space, but not in time. They happen out of time. In fact, they literally stop time. Every day the newspaper jams its wrench in the cogs of the clock and says, "This is what it is like right now." And by doing that, it asks that of all of us. It asks us to step out of time, too, and to consider the things that are happening and what they might mean to us and to others and what we think about all of that. The other thing, the second thing, and perhaps the most important thing, and I wouldn't have been able to verbalize this a week ago, is that a newspaper is a shared experience on so many levels, on every level. Not only the shared experience of a boy listening to his father grumble about the news or two brothers squabbling over the sections, "I'll trade you." There's all that, but there is more. When our cities are full of newspapers, they are quite literally on every corner. And that means you don't even have to read them to know what they're on about. You just have to walk around and they'll seep into you like ink spilled on a blotter. And in the spilling, they'll stain your mind. And that means we are all ink-stained, those of us who read the papers and those of us who don't. And this is the important part. We are stained with the same stories. And because of that, all of us living together can carry on a common conversation. This is intensely important. This act of sharing an experience is arguably as important as the experience itself. More important, maybe. It's not what it is. It's just that it is. For it's in the sharing that we foster fellowship. And that is what creates community. If everyone has their own private newspapers, as the webmasters would have it, if we all travel on cruise control, we may be just as well informed, quite possibly better informed, but we'll become a society of solitudes, each of us lost in our private prejudices. And rather than argue with each other over what might and might not be the common good, we'll drift away to the islands of the single issues and soon be lost in the forests of alienation. And soon enough, instead of grumbling at the paper, we'll be grumbling at one another. And engagement in the world of politics will seem meaningless to us. Why even vote? When we all read the same newspapers, it means quite literally we are all on the same page. When we don't, group activities become personal activities. The great public conversation ceases, and before we know it, we are all bowling alone. A newspaper is a grand public space. And all these grand technologies that would replace them, cell phones and iPods and laptops, take public spaces and turn them into private spaces. The net, with all its web-like connectivity, is still essentially a private place. Each of us a webmaster assembling our own personal narrative. And in our excitement with it all, and dear God, don't think I'm not excited too, we think we can abandon papers to no effect, that it's just another summer evening and we can throw them out with the garbage. What I'm trying to say here is that our newspapers are more than the sum of their parts. And I know, you don't have to say it, I'm slashing at waves with my sword. But take note, and note bene, at the same time that newspapers are folding their tents, so are our broadcasters. There is something important here, and that important thing is that we have to keep the public conversation going. My father is 92 years old now. It's not easy being 92. Old age, as my friend Nancy Pocock used to say, is not for sissies. He has given up a lot, but he hasn't given up his newspaper. It still comes every morning, the Montreal Gazette, which began publishing, incidentally, in 1785. Started by a printer named Fleury Mesplay. Mesplay came to Montreal with Benjamin Franklin when the Army of the American Revolution invaded and occupied the city of my birth. When they came, they dragged a printing press with them all the way from Philadelphia, the first in the city. The idea was that Mesplay would start a newspaper that might convince Canadians to join the revolution. Franklin and the Revolutionary Army eventually left town. Mesplay stayed. And my father still gets the paper he began. He no longer reads it every day, but he keeps his subscription nevertheless. He reads it sometimes, and we worry that if it stops, it would stop at his peril. While it is there beside his chair, he is still ink-stained. Still part of the conversation, and still grumbling. This is Darren Frank.
That old familiar smell that's in the air, you know it well, reminds you of a time, some place before, but it's hard to tell. That old familiar scent of somewhere you've been, or someone you've met, but I don't know. The odor may be funny, or the breeze is sweet as honey. Memories return as you breathe it in. And although you are here, right there again. That old familiar song you've heard before, so sing along. The words might not be right, but they're right on the tip of your tongue. That old familiar tune that shines a light on so many moons ago this time. This music has given so close to you, but you hum along. You know where you were the first time you heard that song. That old familiar face I recognize, but the name escapes me. A mirror doesn't match with younger years and photographs. That old familiar mug of someone you knew, maybe even loved, only you know. And I can maybe shrivel, and pretty soon you will be dribbling again. It's no news to you, but you carry on. Remembered by some long after you were come long after you are gone.
That was Darren Frank with his song Old Familiar, and that's off Darren Frank's album Coal to Diamond.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.